T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. So, got a tweet yesterday, and I'll read it in a moment. This hour, Michael Cohen, 820. Kevin Payne, 835. You can get some fantasy help for free. Use the hashtag AskKevin on Twitter. You can also call us up in 30 minutes. Kevin Payne, 835, as we do every Thursday. Next hour, excited to talk to Rob Nyer, who's got a new book out, talking really about the changes in baseball, the power part of it. It's called Powerball, The Anatomy of a Modern Baseball Game. He took a game from last year where there were 7 home runs hit between the A's and the Astros, and did an inside dive into it. And a team that's relying on the home run a little bit is the Brewers, and also other things that they're doing to change the game. So we'll talk to Rob about that next hour. Michael Cohen coming up, fantasy coming up, Rob Nyer next hour coming up too. But the tweet we got from Kale yesterday, he had sent this to us. He said, if Yelich would happen to be a free agent after this season, how much do you think he could command on the free agent market? Our friend Paul Imig, he gave us the first response. He said, $350 million over 10 years at least.
Yeah, and that's not the Brewers forking out that kind of cash for him.
If Yelich was a free agent right now, do you think he'd get 10 years, $350 million?
I think he'd get 7 at least.
That's like a Giancarlo Stanton. Remember, Yu Darvish got 7 for what, $150 million?
$150 million, yeah. Okay. Yelich's worth more than that. He's an everyday player.
Stanton, what was Stanton's 10-year, $250 million?
300? Something like that, yeah.
I mean, Stanton's still got like 7 years to go on his deal. Cameron responded, I'm sorry, but there's no way he's worth that much money. Stanton proved that he isn't. Pujols wasn't. There is not a person in the game of baseball worth $350 million. The response from our friend Paul, worth is a difficult word. People, it's not the value based on current marketplace, but a team, maybe a team would regret giving him $350 million, but that is his value. That is his worth.
Well, all these teams are going to overpay for guys.
Somebody said it more eloquently in his tweet than I just did.
Somebody's going to pay $300 million for Bryce Harper and be regretting that later on. All right? Most of these big contracts that these guys sign, toward the end of it, at least, you're regretting. You're saying, man, what are we doing? Why did we pay him? You know, Prince Fielder signed that big contract. Do you think he was worth that? No. He wasn't worth that at all. I would say probably 7 years, averaging $30 million a year, I'll say.
If you look at some of the guys that are free agents and what SportTrack, a website that keeps track of all the salaries, what their expected market value would be, Bryce Harper expected market value for one season going forward is going to be about $31 million. Manny Machado, who's a free agent, about $26 million. Daniel Murphy, about $15 million. Certainly, he's much closer to Harper than Murphy, and may even be above Harper. If you're starting a team right now, do you want 26-year-old Bryce Harper at $30 million for 7, or do you want Christian Yelich at $30 million for 7?
Well, at least with Yelich, the guy's going to hit for average, which Bryce Harper didn't do this year. Yelich can hit for power, okay? They both can do that. Yelich is a better defensive player than Bryce Harper. Yelich is, that's the reason why Yelich is an MVP. Yelich can run. He can steal a base. Yelich can do everything out there right now. And this season, he did everything for these guys. He's a five-tool guy. He's worth, on the free agent market, definitely worth around $30 million a year.
414-799-1250. George is on the north side. What's up, George?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, so I was looking at his stats, Yelich, from time he got in up until now. Now, I believe when you see most of these players that get these humongous contracts, it is consistent high-level play. I'm not saying that So I'm looking at Alex Rodriguez, Albert Pujols. Even though Pujols got his, he was averaging every year over 300, over 30, over 100 RBIs. So he was supposed to get that money. Yelich, this is his breakout season to me. If he can do it one more time, then oh yes, he's definitely 250 plus easy.
Is there any concern of him being a one-year wonder?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Let him play his play. Let him play this contract out. If we do this again, oh man, we're gonna have to make a decision: either trade him or invest in him.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna lose him for free.
Yeah, I mean he showed in Miami that he's a good player. All right. He's never had a year like this. Obviously, he's getting better and better and better. I don't think he's a 1 year wonder, but he is a great player, and I think he's really coming to his own this season. I think that 24, 25 years old. This is what we're going to see from him.
I think he's 26.
All right, 26, same thing.
But and that's what Harper is. So we're going to throw that poll question up: who would you rather have for the next 5 years at $30 million apiece, Harper or Yelich? I mean, if you're starting a team right now. And yet, in this scenario, Yelich is a free agent. Thankfully, he's not. But would you rather have Yelich for the next 5 years or Bryce Harper?
Okay.
Harper's still the bigger name, all right? But he did have a disappointing 2018. Yelich has made that leap now.
Okay. A quick sidebar to this.
Yes.
Clayton Kershaw is making about $33 million with the Dodgers, okay? And Yelich would be like a $30 million player if he wasn't under these arbitration years. If you could, for this series, this is a sidebar question. If you could trade Yelich for Kershaw for this series, would you do it?
No.
If you could say, hey, you give me Kershaw, I'd have to think about that, man. Because Kershaw, if you can get him to go. Well, if you can get him to go three games.
Put up another poll.
But I mean, I'm telling you, but if you could get Kershaw, but he's not been good in the postseason, that's the problem. But Kershaw, for a playoff series, if he had a better playoff history, you'd have to think about that, wouldn't you?
No, you're not here.
A game decider, one guy. He's the one guy. Because when the odds come out for baseball, it's based on pitching. And when Kershaw's out, he's a difference maker. Because he's involved in every play.
You're not here without Yelich.
No, I know that. I'm just saying for this series, for the short series, I'm not talking for the entire season. For this series, if you could, because you're not scoring runs, you got to get done with pitching. And Kershaw would take some relief off that bullpen.
Yeah, but he would also eat into the bullpen. Like if Kershaw is going seven, I mean, then you're not using, you're not seeing Knebel, you're not seeing Jeffers, you're not seeing Hayner.
Well, that's the deal, because you could use those guys for when the Wade Miley's of the world start.
Right, that's true. I get that point, but there could also be a negative to it.
No. I mean, I just don't want the bullpen to be overused. I'm just throwing that out there. If you could make a playoff trade, which obviously you can't do, for this playoff series. For the season, no. But, I mean, boy, who would have said that before the season started? I would trade any of my guys for Clayton Kershaw. Yeah. But
if Yelich had maybe – he didn't have, like, his series against the Rockies. It didn't stand out maybe like the last week did. So maybe there might be something to that.
He put the team on his back to get him to this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not here. He's the MVP.
Yeah, he is.
And what one thing he's doing that you should not ignore is he's getting on base via the walk.
Yeah.
And he's also stealing a lot of bases over these last 3-4 weeks.
Absolutely. There's everything. He does everything right.
He does everything.
Yeah, he does everything right. Now, I'm not – okay, and I see a lot of negative reaction. Brewer fans talking about Clayton Kershaw. I wouldn't go there with Clayton Kershaw, saying he's a he's a bad postseason player. I wouldn't. They're going to no. It's Clayton Kershaw's good. We saw him the other night, last Friday night, pitch in the playoffs. Threw a three hitter. He's good. He's good. So don't ever downplay. I'm not saying you, but I'm saying anybody who's going to just he's Clayton Kershaw. He's not good in the postseason. Don't read too much into that.
Who would you rather have for the next 5 years? We put the Twitter poll up. Yelich or Harper? 96% of you say Yelich.
Of course, yes. Well, Harper had a bad year by his standards.
Right.
He had a bad year. And Yelich can do everything, too. He can do everything right now in a game. And that's why he's the MVP.
But Harper's going to be the one that goes out and get $30 million. Yeah. And Yelich is the one that is going to make $9 million next year. Based on what I've seen of him, I don't think there's ever the point where he's like, hey, give me more money. But
But he's under the baseball rules, though. That's why. I mean, he could, you know, he's under baseball rules. He's under a contract. He signed this contract a few years ago.
Well, Rogers was under a contract, and he got paid for some reason this year.
Well, he got a contract extension. You could still do that with Yelich.
You could do that with Yelich.
Yeah.
You could also say, hey, we're just going to pay you more money.
Well,
I mean, the only reason you would do that is...
With Aaron, they gave him an extension. You could do that with Yelich if you want it, I guess, but he's under control for, what, 2022?
Yeah.
You got him for a while, so there's no need to.
One of my favorite things to do is go to Twitter, and the tweet that the Brewers initially put out when they traded for Christian Yelich on January 25th at 6:15 p.m., the Brewers have acquired Christian Yelich from Miami in exchange for Lewis Brinson, Monte Harrison, Isan Diaz, and Jordan Yamamoto. And read some of the replies. Alex, I wanted Yelich, but this is way too much to send back. George, three top 100 prospects for Yelich, LMAO, joke of a franchise.
Well, it was like reported earlier in the day that the Brewers were interested in Yelich. And then they pulled off the trade. But even then, people were like, why would you want Christian Yelich? You got Lewis Brinson. They made the right move there.
Yeah, some of these responses. I'm going to retweet that from the fan account here. That's pretty good.
What? Okay, when the Brewers traded for Yelich, it wasn't like I was over the moon on that trade. All right, because they gave up some. I mean, I wasn't against it, but I was just like, let's see how this plays out. Was there ever one move where the Brewers made that move and you were like all in? It was like, man, you couldn't stop thinking about it.
Oh, I was pumped when they got Supon. I was pumped when they got Loesch. I was pumped when they signed Garza. Oh, gee,
those guys? No, I was thinking.
Well, as a pitcher, Supon was the MVP.
Yeah, but
of the series.
Of the series against the Mets.
Wow, we got Jeff Supon?
Oh, God, I wasn't thinking that.
Wow.
You know, when they got Greinke. Now, there you go. When they got Greinke in, was it December of 2010? I think that was the first time I was like, man.
Yeah, I was in Boston for the Packers-Patriot game, and we found out, I think, on a Saturday night.
Yeah, late Saturday night.
And, it definitely amplified the party we were having in Boston.
Yeah.
I believe a round of shots was bought, and we toasted to Greinke.
I got a text in the middle of the night on that from someone who used to work here, and I was like, Zach Greinke, no way. I was half asleep, and I was looking at the phone. Because this guy was out at the bar at the time, and then he got the news. I'm like, oh, he's probably drunk. There's no way I can believe this. And then I got the next morning, and the trade was made.
Was it Mike?
Well, I'm going to refer to him, but yeah.
It's okay.
Thought maybe he had he was having a good time, and he was pulling my chain.
He was probably as celebratory in a mood as I was that night. Hey, the Milwaukee Brewers have given us a lot of reasons to celebrate. They won, in case you don't know, the Central Division Championship, but we all know. And we're getting as much memorabilia as we can. And to commemorate this historic event, check out BigTimeBats.com. They've got an officially licensed Milwaukee Brewers Central Division Team Signature Bat. It's not one of these bats that just say like MKE on it. This is a officially licensed product. 35-inch full-size bat has the signatures, the imprints of the signatures of the historic Brewers roster with the Brewers logo and the words 2018 Central Division Champions. Now, they're only producing 5,000 of these. You can pick it up, BigTimeBats.com, $129.95, BigTimeBats.com. Don't delay. You can get your piece of Brewers history now. Call 866-280-BATS, 866-280-BATS, or see it and our exclusive bat sets at BigTimeBats.com, BigTimeBats.com, or call 866-280-BATS. All trademarks and logos are used with the permission of Major League Baseball. No worry there. BigTimeBats.com. What if the Packers lose Monday night? What if the Packers do not win on Monday night? Is that even possible?
As long as the Brewers win that pivotal game three, I'm good.
I know.
And then 3 weeks later, I'll be like, how did they lose to the Niners at home at Monday Night Football?
Yeah, when we look back at the season.
The initial sting won't bother me, but long term, I'll be looking at that and saying, How did they lose to the Lions? How did they lose to the Niners?
Because I know the Niners are kind of not great, but if you're them, you're thinking, hey, why can't we go to Lambeau Field and get a victory on Monday night? We'll talk to Michael Cohen about just why that is. A lot of guys on defense not playing up to their end of the bargain. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix, Josh Jones included. We'll talk to Michael Cohen next.
Let's go get it!
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We'll talk football from the fantasy perspective. Kevin Payne, tweet him, ask Kevin, use the hashtag at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can also call us in about 10 minutes, 414-799-1250 from rotowire.com. We do that every Thursday, 8:35. Also on Thursdays, we talk with Michael Cohen. Is the Packers not practicing yesterday, at least not available to the media? They did not practice, did they? I didn't miss that, did I?
No, they didn't practice.
Okay. No, they did not.
All right. They'll be out there today, and we'll see more about Aaron Rodgers, of course. Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Yeah, do you think Jimmy Graham was a mistake by these guys and that maybe he's lost a step or two? Was this – because we're all excited when Jimmy Graham, at least I was, and I don't know, I think Bart was on Jimmy Graham's train.
I was jacked.
Yeah, I was too. So, but was it a mistake, though?
Well, I think the two questions you posed are independent of each other. I don't think it was a mistake, but I do think he lost a step and perhaps a step more than the Packers thought. Now, it's still early in the season, you know, plenty of time for him to get more comfortable and turn things around. But the athleticism that he showed at previous stops in his career, whether it was New Orleans or Seattle, is not there anymore, especially, you know, in the red zone. He doesn't seem to be as much of a guaranteed box out, you know, use my leaping ability and reach to jump over you kind of player that he used to be, you know, back when he had 16 touchdowns in a season. So I still think there are ways for the Packers to use him effectively. It's just maybe not exactly the type of, you know, route and concept and execution that they were expecting when they signed him. So no, I don't think it was a mistake. Because they need another playmaker badly, and if they didn't think there was another one at the receiver position, then Graham was certainly the way to go, in my opinion. But he is also not the type of player that I think they expected when they dished out that kind of money.
Every week, Michael Cohen at The Athletic has been putting out, you've been doing a great job with this, the 10 things to analyze from each and every game. And I want to pick off some of those and talk to you about them. One would be the Davante Adams thing, Davante Adams. Clearly the number one receiver, but in this last game playing a little more in the slot and doing it really effective, is that something we can expect to see more of?
I think they should. You know, I don't know exactly if they will, but it would make sense. And, you know, like I pointed out in the story, this was something that Jordy Nelson did later in his career too, but for totally different reasons. When Jordy Nelson was moving into the slot, you know, the last couple of years he was in Green Bay, he was doing it because it allowed him to really exploit zone defenses from an interior position, finding ways to settle down in the holes, finding ways to read the coverage and take advantage of linebackers over the middle, all those types of things. With Davante Adams, it's completely different. The reason he's going in there is because with a guy that has the ability to release off the ball the way that he does, you know, so impressively and athletically, and Darius Slay said that he thinks, you know, Davante Adams and Keenan Allen are the two best players in the league when it comes to releasing off the line of scrimmage. Well, if you line up way toward one sideline, it's harder to release because the sideline becomes another defender. Obviously, you can't run out of bounds and then come back in. But if you're in the slot in the middle of the field, it gives Davante Adams the option to release to his left, the option to release to his right, and the option to release vertically up the field. And so I think with that ability to just have a three-way go, so to speak, he was just exploiting Darius Slay, who's one of the best corners in the league. And so if I was the Packers, I would continue to give him reps in that spot and maybe shift Geronimo Allison more to the perimeter, not as on a permanent basis by any means, but certainly a situational one.
I think one of the more disappointing things with watching the team this season, and this in your article too, again at The Athletic, Michael_Cohen13 on Twitter, is Josh Jones. When they drafted him, we looked at him as a guy that, wow, he's going to be a big playmaker. He'll take over for Burnett. You know, he could play some linebacker. But when he has been out there, it's been very disappointing. I don't know if, I mean, you don't give up on this guy. Obviously, he's a second round pick last year. But how can Josh Jones improve himself to where he is more of an impact player in this defense? Or is maybe that not something that we should expect?
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. And, you know, the reason why has nothing to do with physical traits or gifts or anything like that. Everybody knows Josh Jones has the size, the speed, the acceleration. He's got everything you want, you know, athletically in a safety and more, honestly, given how big he is. But there's a reason he fell to the second round. And without knowing exactly what other teams were looking at in terms of their evaluations of Josh Jones, but based on what we saw on film last year, based on what we've seen this year, you have to think that it was questions about whether or not he was smart enough to play defense at the NFL level. And, you know, for some of the stories I wrote about Petten earlier in the year, back in the spring and into the summer in training camp, a number of guys said that you have to be intelligent to play the safety position in Mike Petten's defense. Now, again, that's not necessarily an end-all, be-all. Morgan Burnett had tons of issues learning Dom Capers' defense the first 3 to 4 years of his career, based on what Bob McGinn and Tom Silverstein used to tell me when I was working with them at the JS. And then obviously Morgan turned it around and became not only the most reliable guy in the back end of that defense, but also the signal caller on defense. So it doesn't mean that Josh Jones can't figure it out. It just means that I think from a mental standpoint, he's been struggling with it early on, and that's why we saw so many blown coverages last year. That's why we're seeing ridiculous penalties on special teams. And so I don't know if and when he will turn it around, but I don't think it's completely fair to write him off entirely. I just think part of the reason he's struggling is likely the reason he dropped to the second round, given all of his athletic ability, and that would be whether or not he can comprehend things at this level.
Mike McCarthy's been there since 2006. There's some who believe that after a period of time as a coach, no matter how successful, that your voice isn't heard anymore and that the shelf life expires. Now, Belichick and McCarthy have kind of defied that, but do you believe that there's a certain shelf life for coaches, or are certain coaches immune to that?
I think it probably depends on the individual. You know, I think that you have to have the right personality and makeup and sort of the right demeanor to shake off any sort of staleness or any sense of complacency. Obviously, everybody who watches Bill Belichick knows that he is far from the type to get complacent. I mean, he's more ruthless with his transactions and the way he churns his roster than anybody in the league. So I don't think there's ever been a concern that he would get stale in New England. You know, I think that part of the fact that he is also, you know, the de facto general manager of that team probably helps him. He can make whatever moves he wants when he wants to. And so that, you know, certainly would indicate to players that things are not being, you know, let alone, or things are not, you know, being allowed to sit and rot on the shelf, because he can make whatever moves he wants, you know, on the fly, on a whim, whatever he's feeling. I think with other coaches, there's probably more of a likelihood to go stale just because they don't have that same roster authority and they don't necessarily have the ability to shake things up even if they want to. I don't know what the situation is with the Packers. You know, it certainly doesn't seem as if it's, you know, there aren't blatantly obvious signs that it's going stale in terms of players seeming to not listen or players, you know, starting to poke holes or question some of his motives or some of the things that he's doing. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but it's definitely something to monitor as the season goes on.
Yeah, do you see any signs that McCarthy's got the, I mean, not what Belichick has got, but, you know, where he's able to reinvent and keep things fresh like Bill does in New England?
Well, I mean, he changed basically his entire coaching staff this offseason, and they redid the playbook from the ground up, so I would think that that would count as somebody not sitting on their laurels and just saying, well, exactly what I had last year is going to be fine going into this year. So, I mean, it's hard to say from a schematic standpoint because I'm not smart enough to answer the question in that way. But certainly when it came to the things that he can control, which is, you know, primarily his coaching staff, he made tons of changes this offseason, which to me would suggest that he wasn't okay with just being content with what he had.
Michael, we'll talk to you more tomorrow after we see what happens today at practice. Should we expect Rodgers? Do we have any indication, or is that we won't know until we see it?
I would guess that he would practice today, having an extra day off from Sunday. I don't know. I mean, the knee thing to me is I just don't see it as that big of a factor in terms of his play right now. I mean, I know that he can't scramble around and make all kinds of plays like he used to, but in the season opener against Chicago, when he came back in the second half, he made all kinds of throws in rhythm, you know, on time, finding open receivers, and that was, you know, in the very first moments after the injury happened. So in theory, when it was at its worst with no time to heal, I think there have been other problems in the weeks since then. And, you know, you look at some of the mistakes he made against the Lions, it would be a very stretched argument to say that some of the missed throws, some of the times when he's ignored open receivers, you know, holding the ball 5, 6, 7 seconds, you'd really have to stretch your argument to say that that was influenced by the knee. And I don't think it was. And even Devontae Adams said that he doesn't notice any difference with Rodgers in terms of the knee. He said he might be sore and he might be, you know, feeling it a little bit, but it hasn't changed anything that we're doing on offense. So I don't buy that as a viable excuse for his poor performance. And I think the bottom line is he's just been poor the last two games.
We'll find out what happens today. We'll talk to you about it tomorrow, 8:20. Michael, always appreciate it, and we will talk then.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Again, you can find his work at The Athletic, the 10 things he reviews each and every week. Always a good column. And then you also have Ben Fennell, who joins The Big Show on Fridays. He puts out a great X's and O's with video. There's just a lot of great stuff there for coverage if you're looking for it at The Athletic, and we thank Michael for his time. Again, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. Fantasy football time. Freems, you'd be proud of me. I'm like 3-2 in every league. I'm doing pretty good.
In fantasy?
Yeah, I'm in 9 leagues, but one I don't pay for, so I don't really care.
Well, in our league, at our radio station here, who's winning?
Cody is like 4-1.
Rhodes.
He lost for the first time this week to Leroy.
But that's funny, because usually with Rhodes on top of the world, he lets us know about it. So I did not know this.
Yeah, well, he lost, so maybe he's lingering those effects. Also, we have two divisions. So on one division, I think it's Cody, and then the other is Big Ragu, the former executive producer.
Matt Regacious.
Of the Bill Michaels Show.
He was here a few years ago. Yeah, the first producer for Bill.
Yeah, I'm 3-2. I beat Steve Zocchi last week, so from the Final Inspection Show. I whooped up on him. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. How about your teams? You probably need some help, okay? I don't think anyone's 5-0 yet. If you are, keep that undefeated season going. Kevin Payne's going to join us. When you tweet us, use the hashtag AskKevin, or I won't see it. AskKevin, use that hashtag. That's what we'll search. You can also call in if you have a fantasy football question. Kevin with rotowire.com, 414-799-1250. We're going to help you out next.
It's time to get expert advice. Fantasy football players, call 799-1250 right now and have your questions answered by rotowire.com's fantasy football insider, Kevin Payne. Brought to you by the Q Club of Wisconsin, Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Catch all your sports action and enjoy their award-winning fish fry every Wednesday and Friday.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman, Cody Grant, our producer. But the man of the hour is our friend Kevin Payne from rotowire.com. Hey, the Bills are good again, Kevin.
Your definition of good might not be right on there, Bart. They're decent. You know what the key with them is? Is if their defense is actually good. The problem is, if the offense isn't doing anything, then the defense tends to mimic them. If the offense can move the ball, then the defense is kind of inspired to play. So that's how I would define them if they're considered being good.
All right, I'm going to throw down one ground rule today. When you tweet in at 105.7 FM The Fan, you have to use the hashtag AskKevin, or I will not see it. So I try to cycle through my feed on Twitter and our station feed, but we're so popular, we get so many notifications that this is the easiest way, okay? Ask Kevin the hashtag, and then I will see it. You can also call us, 414-799-1250, or use the email live at 1057fmthefan.com. If you've sent in a tweet and did not use the hashtag AskKevin, resend in another tweet,
or your phone also does communicate via mouth. So you can talk to us as well at 799-1250. We will get started via the telephone. Let's go to Jim in the Falls. Jim, what do you got?
Jared Goff or Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, good question. And historically, Pittsburgh's done well in Cincinnati. That being said, I would go with Goff. Denver's defense is not what they used to be, and he's been fantastic. If memory serves me correct, he's leading the league in passing yards. He should have those guys back. Talking about Cooks and Kupp, they're in the concussion protocol, but they should be able to play. So I would stick with Goff.
Alan tweets in, hashtag Ask Kevin at 105.7 FM The Fan. Deshaun Watson or Matt Ryan?
Another good one. Deshaun Watson's going to get you some stuff with his legs. I'm going to lean with him at home against the Bills. I like Matt Ryan a lot, too. You know, everybody out there who's got these quarterbacks, these are good questions. Don't get me wrong, but see if you can get something in the trade market for him. You won't have this headache every week, and you can bolster either your tight end, running back, or wide receiver slot instead. I don't see any reason to hang on to two good quarterbacks. I know buys are here, but see what you can get in the trade market for those guys.
God, the tight end spot is brutal this year.
Horrible. It's everybody says this is a weird year in the NFL. Every year is a weird year, but for a different reason. And so far this year, it's been the year of the tight end injury. Everybody keeps getting hurt, and there's not a lot of good options out there. Especially, I play in some two leagues where you have to start two tight ends.
Ugh.
It is absolutely scraping the bottom of the barrel, looking at guys that are second and third tight ends on their team to go ahead and start each week.
Yeah, who did I pick up from Denver in a league last week? Heilman.
Two games ago, he had a good game.
Yeah.
And then last week didn't do a whole lot.
Dylan tweets in, hashtag Ask Kevin. He needs one of three. It's a PPR. Corey Clement, Aguilar, or Doug Baldwin?
I would go back to Baldwin in this one. I know he had the terrible game last week, but the fact of the matter is he's still the number one guy. This is a very good matchup going into Oakland. Look, if you can't use him this week against Oakland, you shouldn't even have him on your roster. So I would go back to Doug Baldwin this week.
Let's go out to Jimmy on the east side, 799-1250. What's up, Jimmy?
Just a general roster question. Are Larry Fitzgerald and Derrick Henry even worth a roster spot at this point?
Fitzgerald, no. I mean, find a week where he's been relevant or done anything. You can't. And I just think with the rookie quarterback, maybe he'll have a good game every once in a while, but he's not going to be consistent. And I hate to say that because he's probably in the twilight of his career. Derrick Henry's a different story, though. You know, game flow really hasn't favored using him. I would hang on, not necessarily start him, but I would hang on to him for a couple more weeks to see how he does. I still think there's time for him to turn it around. He's their goal line guy, and I think that, as I said, the game flow really hasn't favored using him so far.
Let's get John on the east side. What's up, John?
Hey, I got David Johnson or James White.
Ooh.
Johnson. That's a good one.
How is he falling?
Yeah, he's fallen, but if you look at his game logs, he had two touchdowns last game. He's really only had one bad game. Now, he's not putting up the monster production we've seen from him in the past. And the only reason I would consider White this week is that game should be a fantasy carnival. They're going to go out and put up a lot of points Sunday night there in New England. I would try to fit both the guys in your lineup. I can't imagine you've got better options, but if forced to choose, I think I would go ahead and stick with David Johnson, just based upon the fact I think there's a higher floor with him than there is for James White.
Matt needs two of the five half-point PPR. Jeffrey, Lockett, Fitz, Crowder, Josh Gordon. Jeffrey, Lockett, Fitz, Crowder, Josh Gordon.
He needs two of them?
Yeah.
I would go with Alshon, who's looked good since he came back. He's absolutely healthy. I want to say Crowder, kind of, because I feel like he's going to have a good game, but he's definitely not reliable. Go with Lockett. I mean, he's been very good, pretty consistent. I think he's only had really one bad game a couple games ago. He seems to find the end zone a lot, and again, this is a great matchup going into Oakland, so go with Lockett and go with Alshon.
Josh needs one in a PPR, Demaryius Thomas, Devin Funchess, Lamar Miller, or Kiki Kuti Love Me?
Yeah, let's go with Kuti here. And here's the reason why. Tre'Davious White, who's one of the better corners in the league, is going to be on DeAndre Hopkins. Two games so far, Kuti has done and delivered in both of them. They're trying to get this guy the football. So I would go with Kuti just based upon the fact that he'll have softer coverage. And I can't imagine Houston doesn't put up a good amount of points on the Bills at home.
Mike, Sterling Shepard or Alfred Morris, PPR?
Alfred Morris, just based on volume. It's a good matchup for Shepard, don't get me wrong. But I think the Morris at home, even though it's going to be kind of a tough matchup against Carolina, I think he's going to get Alfred Morris. I still think he plays for the Redskins. I would still like Alfred Morris just based on volume because Matt Breida's out. I was starting to think about Matt Breida. I'm like, wait a sec. Breida doesn't play for the Redskins, and Alfred Morris doesn't play for the Redskins. But I think that's the volume's going to be there this week going up against Green Bay with Breida likely going to be out.
414-799-1250. You can call 414-799-1250. Let's go to Adam in Tosa. What's up, Adam?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. PPR, I'm starting Javoris Allen, but then I need one of the other following Wendell Smallwood, Alex Hollins, Royce Freeman, or the fullback out in San Fran.
Yeah, I almost had to use the dump button there. That was close.
That's a tough last name. Sorry, Bart.
It's okay.
Yeah, we'll just call him Kyle J. But out of those guys, I think I like Smallwood the best. He's going to split time with Corey Clement tonight. But you can expect Smallwood to get at least 10 touches. A lot of it he does in the passing game. He got into the end zone last week. So I like rolling with Smallwood this week.
Luck or Mahomes, that one from Kale.
Mahomes for sure. Luck put up a monster game last week. I think it's going to be much tougher going up against the Jets. We're going to run the ball with Crowell. And again, that is going to be an absolute fantasy carnival Sunday night. Chiefs at New England should be a very entertaining game. Mahomes, look, he put up numbers against Jacksonville, the best defense in the league. He put up 300 yards and ran into the end zone. You've got to think he's going to do even better than that this week against New England.
Let's do some quick lightning ones, and then we'll get back to the phones. Jason, Carr or Winston?
Winston, love the matchup.
AJ wants to know, he needs two, Smallwood, Hines, Lynch, AP, and Kittle.
Kittle, who's done great with B-3rd so far, and I, again, go with Smallwood.
Brady or Rodgers?
Close. Brady, though.
Deion Lewis or Tariq Cohen from Tanner?
Cohen coming out of the bye.
Right. Cooks, Edelman, Sanders, Emmanuel Sanders, or Chris Thompson? Cook, Edelman, Sanders, or Thompson?
Who's the second guy? Edelman. Edelman, again, this game should be very high scoring, especially if it's any type of PPR format. Edelman.
Cody Grant, our producer. What do you got?
We got Isaiah Crowell, Kenyon Drake, or Chris Thompson. I need two.
Yeah, so Chris Thompson's banged up. He might not even play this week. He's going to be the guy that I would lean to bench. And again, Carolina, that's kind of a tough matchup. So right now, and it'll be easier if we find out that Thompson's out for sure, and that is one of the early games, so we'll know around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on Sunday. I would probably sit Thompson anyway, though.
Hey, who's on line two?
Vermania.
Vermania. All right, let's go to Vermania. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's your question? How you doing?
I'm doing great. So I've got Cooper, Allen Robinson, or Crabtree. Pick one.
Crabtree every week, it's like six catches for 66 yards. I would go with Allen Robinson here. Again, Bears coming out of the bye. The offense looked like it was clicking. I got to think that this is a decent matchup against Miami, although Xavier Howard has been a very good corner. I would still stick with Allen Robinson here. Does anybody trust Amari Cooper anymore? I mean, it's just ridiculous that they're not getting the ball. He had one target last game. It's just, I don't understand what Oakland's doing. John Gruden effect, I don't trust Amari Cooper, so let's go with Allen Robinson.
And then let's get one more from Arnell. What do you got, Arnell?
Hey, fellas, I need a quarterback, Drew Brees or Tom Brady.
Brees is on bye, bud.
That would do it. Go with Tom Brady. Kevin, appreciate it. You can follow Kevin Casey Payne, 26, P-A-Y-N-E, rotowire.com. I want to let you know that I did take advantage of the free trial, Kevin, because I needed auction values for a keeper fantasy basketball league, and that helped me out big time.
Yeah, we've got basketball up there. Hockey's up there as well. All that stuff, it's crazy, the stuff. NASCAR, tennis, the e-game, the guys playing video games. We've got all that, rotowire.com.
I got to take it you're a Sabres guy, right?
I am a Sabres guy. Yes, I am.
I like there that. That's the team I picked. I'm a Sabres guy. I don't follow hockey, yeah. But I'm a Sabres guy.
Give them a few years. They've got some young guys and Jack Eichel. The one thing I like about Jack Eichel, you're going to be able to root for him because he's going to be probably captain of Team USA for many years.
Me and my buddy, we would go to the bar all the time. This was like 7 years ago, and it was April, but the bar we went to, we wanted to watch the Brewer games, but the bar we went to was a hockey bar, so they'd always have hockey on it, so we thought, ah, screw it, we'll like a team. We picked the Sabres. They made the playoffs that year. They have not made the playoffs since. So that's what it's been like for me.
Yes, under my profile name and picture on RotoWire, it says I am a glutton for punishment. I root for the Bills and the Sabres.
Kevin, we'll talk to you next week, man.
Sounds good, Bart. Have a good one.
Kevin Payne, again, you can follow him on Twitter. He will DM you the answers. KCPAYNE26. He'll be available to you throughout the weekend, a great resource for your fantasy football needs. Hey, at Perkins right now, they're getting back to basics when it comes to dining out. Sometimes that's what you're looking for, and they've got it for you. The hearty breakfast combos, the piled high sandwiches, the juicy 100% Angus beef burgers. Perkins is a new menu full of all your old favorites starting at just $4.99. If it's a classic, it's at Perkins. Make sure you stop by today. On Friday, it's the Friday fish fry, too. 11 o'clock until close for $10.99. Get the fish fry and all the fixings. You can do that at Perkins. Back into the Brewers, game one of the NLCS. Yeah, pinch yourself. They're in this thing. Brewers, Dodgers. They had a workout yesterday. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell and the guy who's like 6 or 7 weeks younger than Craig Counsell and Eric Kratz. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.